Well, podcasting from a marketing standpoint is pretty clear to me. I mean, it's not a one-off audio stream or radio program. And some marketers look at podcasters as, hey, you know, they're just a radio show. No, from a marketer's perspective, it's a relationship opportunity. It's a relationship series.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and I'm here today with John Furrier, and we're sort of turning the tables on John because I'm interviewing him for a podcast, and he's the guy that's known worldwide for being the pioneer in podcasting and the real brand builder of what is becoming an incredible market. And welcome to Marketing Voices, John.
Well, one of the pioneers. There are a lot of people out there who are pioneering it, pioneered it and pioneering it. Dave Weiner, Adam Curry, Kevin Marks, a lot of folks out there. Eric Rice. So it's not just me, it's a lot of people.
Good.
We're doing a lot of cool stuff now, but definitely continuing to pioneer.
Okay, well, I meant you were one of. So,
thank you.
Anyway, so we're here today to talk about podcasting as it relates to marketing and social media and all of that. But my first question is, tell the audience really what a podcast is in a simple form, not in a lengthy form.
A podcast is, you know, depending on who you talk to, has a variety of different definitions. Some people call it a radio show on the internet. Some people call it an audio stream that has RSS feeds built into it. Some people call it a relationship series. So what I like to tend to call it is, it's the spoken voice audio that's pushed out on the internet using RSS, Real Simple Syndication, which is a new protocol technology developed by Dave Weiner that actually creates this massive syndication capability. So podcasting is a new way of pushing voices and audio out to the global internet.
So when you say new, like give everyone a sense of new. New like the last 2 years, new last 4 years. I mean, how long has it sort of been around?
Well, you know, all the people who have been around know that audio has been around for a while. When the internet hit the scene, people were doing recordings and putting in MP3s and variety of formats on there. Webcasts were out there, webinar. A lot of corporate clients love webinars because it's a way to push something out on a virtual basis and get people communicated to and have some interaction. So in a way, that's audio too. But the problem with these webcasts is they have to happen at a certain time, and people have to show up at that time. And if they're not there, there's an archived version of that event on some website. The problem is that no one can really find it. There's no real search engine for webcasts and audio. What podcasting is the same kind of thing, if you will, but designed with the idea that it can be shared using RSS. Libraries like iTunes, Yahoo, and other directories are out there. So it's, you know, podcasts has evolved into like a new way of pushing out information. And all these deals getting done here, these venture capitalists you hear in the background.
Yeah, to say just what everyone wants to know. Okay, so in terms of how they're being used today for businesses, you know, this show's all about marketing, and people who listen are really all about, you know, how can I do this for marketing and use them for my company? So give me a sense of how PodTech is actually working in some of that.
Well, podcasting from a marketing standpoint is pretty clear to me. I mean, it's not a one-off audio stream or radio program. And some marketers look at podcasters as, hey, you know, they're just a radio show. No, from a marketer's perspective, it's a relationship opportunity. It's a relationship series. You can use podcasting to create a voice and push it out to the world and continue to do that. And people can subscribe to those. So it's a very, very new way to reach people. And we've seen that. We've seen some benefits with some of the people we've worked with, Intel, Juniper Networks, NVIDIA, Intel, among, you know, 15 other clients.
So what kind of things are they actually using it for? I know the Master of IT program you had a lot to do with. Can you talk to the listeners about that?
Yeah, Juniper Networks had this really great program. It's called Master of IT. They target IT customers. And what they did was they wanted to highlight some of their best customers, kind of a best practices kind of program. They created a website called masterofit.net. And they had really cool pictures and baseball cards of their customers, what their facts were, their networks, and their environment. And they wanted to highlight what they've done, not only with their product, but with the overall challenges that they overcame. And we podcasted with them, and it became a huge success on the internet because people like to hear from people. And we podcasted their customers or masters, and people love to just hear other people talk and tell their story. And so that was part of an integrated marketing program, and it really added so much more to the effect of having a place, like a website. It drew people there. So the podcast became a great way not only to push the information and voices out, it created pull into the actual site. And so, you know, marketers, this is a standard challenge. When some new program or marketing activity comes out, you got to try to create buzz and traffic to it. So the tools available are, you run some advertising on Google or Yahoo or some website to drive traffic to convert over to a site, or send an email blast out. So some of the tools are now kind of becoming obsolete. Email blasts, for example, is a great example of some obsolete tools. You know, it just creates more complexity for the marketer. You know, you got cleansing, data cleansing, and you got to get a list. I mean, you got to get, where do you get names? So, you know, for most marketers, their customer lists are great because they have their customers, but getting new people, how do you get new users? And that's a challenge for marketers. And podcasting is a great example of how Juniper got new users and created deeper relationships with the podcasting.
So it's great for brand building. So are there any challenges that you've really seen, or have any of your clients ultimately complained and said, wow, you know, this podcasting has done this for us? I mean, have there been any problems with it that you've heard about?
I think really there really hasn't been any big problems with it. Everyone's been thumbs up. Hey, this is really cool. We're going to start adding this into our marketing and media mix. I think what people are learning is kind of what works, what doesn't. And what we've seen is that the stuff that doesn't work is overproduced, canned marketing stuff. The new internet consumer, or consumer 2.0, we'll be calling it at PodTech, is all about credibility and relevance. And so people don't want to waste their time. So as marketers talk to users and respect their time, they can actually earn a lot of loyalty and influence with those users and create that relationship. So what we're seeing working is this idea of a relationship series to put out not an overproduced spokesperson for an event or, you know, launch or a product or a feature or just a conversation. Put out the person who knows the most. And that is really respectful to the people who want to consume that information. So
it's really real voices. And do you ever run into a problem where the people that are speaking get intimidated by doing a podcast and they start to get really nervous and they can't ultimately converse very well?
Yeah, people are shy. I mean, people are more shy with video than they are with audio. But I think once someone gets on a roll and they're within a comfort zone of their topic, I mean, everyone's an expert at something in life. And, you know, within a corporation, it could be someone who's an expert at a particular product line or technology or something. And the key to success is making sure that they're talking about a topic that they're absolutely a guru at. Because one, it respects the consumer's time from a consumption standpoint. And two, it makes people comfortable. So someone who tends to be shy, you know, publicly speaking or whatever, tend not to be shy when they know what they're talking about. And so that's always a nice safe harbor approach to, you know, selection of who should talk about what.
So how long are we talking about in terms of these podcasts? How long are the individual podcasts?
The individual podcasts can range anywhere from, you know, 4 to 15 minutes. Some podcasts you'd see out there like 40, 60 minutes for in-depth stuff. And that's, you know, it's a function of how many people you want to get. If you want to get a lot of people, go shorter. If you want to get not a lot of people, go longer. But sometimes you may want a longer, less people and more intimate audience. So, you know, 40 minutes is plausible. We tend not to do 40 minutes because we think, you know, that should be dedicated to follow-up consumption. So, for example, if a company's launching a product, hey, do an 8-minute podcast, 10-minute podcast on the product from someone who knows the most, very crisp, and give them that. If there's a lot of people who download that, you'd want to have them offer them more. There you can offer a selection of a buffet of content, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 8 minutes, and add more programming behind it. But to get someone's attention for the first time with a 40-minute podcast can be difficult.
Okay, so how do you distribute it then? I mean, once it's on the site, so the Juniper thing, I mean, how does PodTech work in the distribution angle?
Well, this is why the size of the format and, you know, being kind of wishy-washy, but it kind of depends on how long it is. It's all word of mouth. I mean, it's all about, you know, what people hear, their first impression on a podcast, their first 3 seconds is very important. You know, when they hear a podcast, the first minute, they're going to give it a taste, they're going to try it out. So, you know, that's really important. But then also it's the word of mouth. You can get people to a 40-minute podcast. Steve Gilmore of the Gilmore Gang, who's over at the Pod Show, he gets a very loyal set of listeners. And, you know, and he has his own style. Doesn't edit very well. It's authentically raw content, and people love that. He's got a very intimate group of people who listen to his 60-minute podcast. I can't listen to his program all the time, and you know, I've told him that. But sometimes I do listen to it. If someone said, hey, Steve's had a great show, talked about this and that, you know, I'll listen to it. But for the most part, his listeners are very loyal, and that's what he wants. That's his objective.
Okay, so back to the distribution question. So there's iTunes and there's podcasts. So I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit. How does it get to iTunes? How do you sort of take it and make sure it's on iTunes and set up? Can anybody do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's with RSS, anyone can pretty much do it. It's pretty geeky right now, and it's pretty straightforward. But it's very easy if you have one show. But as you start doing more and more content, like, as you know, at PodTech last month, we did over 150 podcasts last month. Went to events. We did some corporate podcasts. We did some news. We did some info talks. That's a lot of content. And we have 60 channels on iTunes and growing, or more. I think maybe 70. But that's a lot of content. It's a lot of RSS feeds. So for the average person, you know, that's the challenge. But iTunes is very strong. I mean, the great clearinghouse, some argue that they have anywhere between 30 and 100 million users using the iTunes client software, which is like a media player. So, you know, a percentage of those iTunes people go to the podcast section. So that's great. Yahoo has podcasts, podcast.yahoo.com, which is still in beta, but that's a great kind of directory model and search engine that Yahoo's put together, and they're continuing to add to that. And then there's other sites out there that reach pretty much everybody. So, you know, there's enough distribution out there and kind of peering points that it can be found.
So how do you know if anyone's listening? For sure.
That's what everyone wants to know about. And, you know, I think podcasting is early on, and the results coming in is that it is popular with users. No one really knows who's listening yet. A lot of companies are out there being funded and developing technologies to do that. Certainly Apple has that information, but they don't publish that out. Cell phone manufacturers and these networks that are developing that eventually get to the cell phone may have some information to determine how long something was listened for, if it was listened to. But right now, the marketers have to kind of do a swag on a percentage basis of if they had 100,000 downloads, that there'd be a percentage of them may not have been listened to. But believe me, you know, 1 week at Mac Store, we delivered hundreds of thousands of downloads. Even if they cut it in half, it's still better than any webinar they've done. Most webinars get 50 to 100 people in there.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little sales promo. So how do you actually, got a lot of listeners that are going to be saying, how do I really go to you guys and get this podcast done? So who should they contact at PodTech, and how does the process kind of work to get a podcast done?
Well, I mean, PodTech.net right now, we're doing a lot of corporate services. And, you know, I mean, we're here to help clients understand how to do podcasts, because we're experts at it, and we know how to do it. So we'll come in and work with a corporate client and help them boot up their podcasting social media or their podcasting infrastructure. And we'll do that as a service, on a service basis. And then take those podcasts and distribute out over the internet on their behalf, host it, provide added value, metadata, etc. So we can provide two sets of services for a corporation, and that's great. And then they get online faster. It may take them months to figure out their policy. One company, IBM, took a lot of time to get their policy out on the blogging, and then, you know, podcasting, same thing. They had to put a policy together. So for some companies, they can get started right away by calling up PodTech and not only get the podcast done, get these relationships here developed, but really reaching enough users in their target within technology that we can get them enough traffic and downloads that makes it really worth their while. And we learn in return. So we, right now, it's a shared model.
Great. Well, this has been John Furrier. He's CEO of PodTech, and this is not a sales message, given that I also have this show on PodTech.net, but I thought it was really important, given that John's role as a pioneer in podcasting has been so great, and Scoble just came on, and that's pretty exciting, too.
It's great. He's going to do a podcasting show, video blogging, and we're going to just continue to innovate, help our clients learn what's best practice out there, and develop some technology.
Great. Well, thank you for being on Marketing Voices.
Thank you.
Welcome. And to all my listeners, until next time, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.